I'm so grateful to be with you here this morning. It has been a tremendous week for those of us who have traveled all the way from the continent of Africa, and the brothers and sisters that have come all the way from Asia, from Haiti. We are truly grateful to the Lord for a week of spiritual enrichment and training. And I truly believe that the Lord, he has brought me here for a purpose, and I've been sucking in, and I'm ready to go. I'm such kind of a person that when I learn some things, I can't wait to implement them. And it has been a real blessing to get to know Pastor Bill even in a much closer range. And he has been such a blessing to all of us. And just seeing his heart for God and his heart for the world missions, it has been a tremendous blessing. And we feel so indebted to all of you and to the leadership and to Pastor Bill and his family. And of course, to the Lord Jesus Christ, who has made it possible for us to be here. I want to promise that I will be praying for you, Pastor Bill. I know the vision that the Lord has laid in your heart is much bigger vision than just how people here can begin to capture. It's a far-reaching vision that deserves all of God's people to rally behind, and we will pray that God will continue to raise such men and women who can come alongside you and get this vision in all parts of the world. I want to share with you this morning about the Great Commission. And I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. Matthew chapter 28 and verses 18 to 20. I'm going to read from the New King James Version. Verse 18. I hear a lot of pages are still flipping, and it's in the New Testament. If you have got a Bible like mine, it's page 100 and... Verses from verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. Verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As I was reading this passage of scripture, I noticed that verse 20 has got, lo, I am with you. So when I was a young believer, I didn't want to fly because I didn't think those who are flying, the Lord is with them. But anyway, because the Bible says, lo, I am with you, even unto the end of the age. As you all may be aware that I come from the country of Zimbabwe, we gained our independence from the British 31 years ago. And when we got independence, inflation was about 5%, and we inherited an incredible strong economy from the British. And over the past few years, Zimbabwe has gone through a tremendous challenge in terms of the economic meltdown. And just 2 years ago, we reached the highest level of inflation beyond what any person can ever imagine. From 5% 30 years ago and 2 years ago, we were at 350 million percent inflation. There was no war, just the political situation and bad governance made Zimbabwe sink into the lowest. When you look at the country, Zimbabwe actually has the highest educated labor force in Africa today. We, at some point, had the highest educated cabinet in the whole world. That means almost every cabinet minister had a PhD. But sometimes you don't seem to marry the education and the ability to read the economies of these countries to the levels where they begin to sink to such a point where inflation is so high. When inflation gets to that level, you have no clue, you have no idea what is happening. At some point, we had four prices on a single day. You have a morning price. If this shirt of mine is $20 in the morning, when you have the money to buy it, go and buy it. Because mid-morning is $40. In the afternoon, it's $100. In the evening, it's $150. And it was a daily routine. Every single day, you are experiencing such a tremendous change. You know, when sometimes it's easy to be beaten and begin to nurse the wounds, but when you are going through a tremendous change where budget does not make any sense anymore, you cannot plan, you cannot think ahead, you just have to live on a daily basis. That has a tremendous impact among our people. Many people that had worked for years and saved their money and had pensions, in one day, they woke up tomorrow morning, their pensions are wiped out. They don't have any money. Everything has come to ground zero. As if it was not enough, the breakdown of law and order. You know, somebody commits a crime and you go to the police, you realize that the police are very corrupt. And he who has the money, no matter what crime they have committed, they can literally get away with everything. So the police doesn't work. The judges in courts, those that have the money, they can buy the judges. So if you've got a case in a court of law, you can be rest assured that nothing is going to move on. So what does that mean to ordinary Zimbabweans? What does that mean to the people of Zimbabwe? It simply means that you cannot trust in any person. The courts don't work. The police don't work. Law and order doesn't work. When all these things are going on, God has got a way of working a puzzle. I have seen a tremendous movement in the hearts of many Zimbabweans, where many Zimbabweans realize that the only sure thing that you can depend on is God. And we have seen a tremendous movement among the people of Zimbabwe turning to the Lord in a way that we have never experienced before. Churches were growing. People were turning to the Lord. Why? Because God is the only sure foundation. It's the only sure foundation that you can depend on. And when you depend on God, you know that all other place is a sinking sand. And the only place that is standing is when you come back to terms with your Creator. My children, my son is 17 years, and we are 31 years as an independent country. We have only known one president. And 90% of our labor force has gone into our neighboring countries, into America, into United Kingdom, into Australia, because they could not wait since they wanted their life to continue. So we've practically lost the key people in our nations. And as if that was not enough, the pandemic of AIDS has been wreaking havoc in our country. 2,000 bodies have been buried every week. Many children were left as orphans. In fact, in Africa today, when you reach the age of 50, you have got every reason to celebrate, because the lifespan of our people has been reduced to 36 years old. Poverty is the order of the day. We don't have the middle class in our countries. It's either you are poor or you are rich. The rich get richer and the poor gets poorer. So, but we are grateful that God has given us the Great Commission, the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to speak about three things this morning. I want to speak about the command. I want to speak about the commission. And I want to speak about the companion. What is the Great Commission? The Great Commission, in as far as I am concerned, it is the ultimate consummation of what Christ has died for. It is the heart and the soul of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is a God-ordained global vision for winning souls for Jesus Christ, no matter what. Let me just begin by sharing about the command. Well, as we have read the passage of Scripture, it's so amazing that Jesus is talking to his disciples at the end of his ministry. And one of the assuring words that he's speaking to them is in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. You know, when I read that passage of scripture when I was a new believer, saved from worshiping the ancestors, where I was literally involved in beating drums and getting people possessed with evil spirits. You know, my world, like my brother Wawa has just shared, is no different. But in my culture, demons are real. I have seen physically people possessed with evil spirits, and I have seen the power of demons, experiencing the power of demons in a way that we have never seen before. And when I got born again at the age of 17, I realized that I was coming from a background where I was seeing a lot of power. Demons can be spiritual, but they can also be physical. When a person is possessed with a demon, he can be so physical. But coming out of that power, believing in the Lord Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, I needed to experience another power. And when I read the Bible saying all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, I said, glory to the name of the Lord. Because my God is the creator of the universe. He has got the power that is much greater than the power of the United Nations put together. He has got the power, bigger power than the nuclear weapons that are in the Middle East today. He has got the power to sustain the human life. I said to myself, as crazy as I was, as a youngster, as I was growing up, and as crazy as I've met so many people who are so crazy in their lives today, what stops crazy people today to blow this world in a matter of minutes? Because the nuclear powers are manned by people who are just like you and me. Sinners. Some of them, we have no regard to life. What is it that is stopping them from blowing those nuclear weapons? Then the whole world comes to the ground. I know what is stopping them. My God is so powerful that nothing will happen that he has not ordered it to happen. Hallelujah. So I'm so grateful. So when the Bible says all authority, I realize that greater is he that is in me than him that is in the world. So I realize that now I have got Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who is much greater in power. And it was my desire to move into the world and turn the world upside down. Now, God has given us a command. Brothers and sisters, many of us, we don't understand what a command is. But military people, they do understand what a command is. When you are in the army, when your superior says, do this, you don't ask why. You ask how. Jesus gave a command to his disciples, having spent time with them, investing his life, teaching them about how the ministry was going to be carried out. And God is saying to his disciples, go into the world and make disciples of all nations. What an incredible statement that the Lord Jesus is giving to his disciples. In other words, he is saying the preaching of the gospel is the only thing that will change our world today. The answer for the problems of the world will not come through the politicians. The answer of the world today will not come through the great superpowers of this world. The answer to the world is going to come through the church and through Jesus Christ working through the church. And it is when we realize that the Great Commission is not the great omission. God has called each and every one of us. He has invested his life. Just the ability for me to breathe is good enough for me to say, God, you are so good to my life. And God has given us a command to go into the world. This is an urgent issue, brothers and sisters. It is a matter of life and death. We cannot negotiate the command that God has given to us. It's something that is not negotiable. It's something that we cannot amend. It's something that we cannot wish away. God simply said to these disciples, go. And this is the vision of Pastor Bill, I believe, and many of you here, that our mandate is for us to go. Many times we sit in committees to negotiate. The command of God is a non-negotiable. We cannot sit in a committee. We cannot establish a committee to find out whether it is necessary to go or not to go. We need to go. Why? Because there are many people who are like me, who are dying of AIDS and poverty and many things that are taking place. It is amazing when those people die when they know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Because Jesus is the only answer to the lives of people. So God wants us to move, because it is such an urgent issue. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 19, Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. You know, when he was calling his disciples, he said, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The whole idea was for him to impart his life to them. Then he will make them fishers of men. Each one of us have been called by God, because there is one soul that he wants us to win to him. And the Bible says, straight away they left their nets and followed him. These were business people, my friends, that were used to their business adventure. But when they heard the call of God, they could not gamble with souls. They could not gamble with the commission, with the calling of God upon their lives. They immediately left their nets. They never even went to discuss with their families. They knew if God says go, you must go. Luke chapter 14, verse 26. If any man come to me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, and brethren and sisters, ye and his own life, he cannot be my disciples. If any man does not hate his own brothers and sisters, he cannot be my disciple. Such a difficult situation. But all Jesus was teaching here was to say, the gospel of Christ is so urgent that it becomes a priority that consumes each and every one of us. That we cannot wait and we cannot negotiate. It's such a priority that there is no other thing that we can do except to take heed to the calling of God. In Matthew chapter 8, and another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury the dead. You know, Jesus never was easy about the priority of the preaching of the gospel. He was never to say, you can try. It was a divine mandate, and one person had to move and take up the challenge and go. It doesn't mean that he was not concerned about burying the dead, but it simply means that he was concerned that the main thing must be the main thing. So it's very important that we need to understand that there is an urgency here of the gospel of Christ. We cannot gamble with people that are dying, going to hell every single day. God hold us responsible because he has given us so much ability, so much things that we need to say, God, here we are. We want to do the work that you want us to do. And we have a great opportunity for us to do it. You know, you need to understand, brothers and sisters, that the opportunities for us to preach the gospel will not always be open. When God opens a door, you must take advantage of that door. Doors will not always open. America used to be one of the greatest free countries in as far as the preaching of the gospel is concerned. But today is one of the most closed doors. You can't preach in a school, public school, in a public place. Whereas in my part of the world, I can preach in a school. I can preach in a public place. I can preach wherever. So for me, the command to preach the gospel of Christ, I have no choice except to make use of every opportunity that God has given to me. The greatest hindrance to the gospel is not the Islamic religion. The greatest hindrance of the gospel is not any other people outside. The greatest hindrance of the gospel is church people who are not willing to part with these doors and go out and make a difference in the world. It is when we decide deliberately to say these four walls, they are good, but they can also be a curse. We can enjoy ourselves and enjoy good music and enjoy good fellowship. But brothers and sisters, there are more sinners outside than there are saints inside this building. And our responsibility as a church is not to stay on these pews. Our responsibility as a church is to come to church and be fired up for Jesus. But when we are fired up for Jesus, we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. We are needed outside more than we are needed here. God needs me outside the church building more than I am needed inside the church building. When you buy a car, it's a brand new Mercedes-Benz. When you take it to the garage, it has got a fault or something. That Mercedes-Benz does not need to stay in the garage. You can take me and say, come and see my car. Where is it? It is in the garage. You turn the key on, you start hitting the accelerator, and it can make a lot of noise. But as long as that car does not come out of the garage and take you from point A to point B, that Mercedes-Benz is good for nothing. The biggest challenge that we have today is we have so many Christians that are too nice. Too nice. That they are so good that they cannot be used by God on earth. But may God help us. A car goes into the garage to be serviced so that when it goes out, it can take me to east, south, west of Florida. But as long as it remains making noise in the garage, it will not make an impact. Many of us, when we come to church, it's a great achievement. Just sitting on a pew on a Sunday, it's a great achievement. But God help us. God wants us to be out there being the salt and the light of the earth. rubbing shoulders. You see, governments are not going to change. Governments, they all come from the same mother. Politicians, they all come from the same mother, whether from Africa, America, Britain, wherever they are. Politicians, they are all liars. Lie is their native language. But the only thing that God depends on is not politicians. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray, God from heaven will hear the prayers of his people. He doesn't hear the prayers of the politicians. So it is us who can change the world. Brothers and sisters, when you look at Joseph, Joseph was not a pastor, but yet he turned his world upside down. He was in Egypt, and God used him in such a way. I have never heard of any pastor going to visit him and say, Joseph, you are a slave now. How can I help to pray for you? But my Bible says, and God was with Joseph. No church, no band, no choir, but yet he was able to stand his testimony for God and made a huge difference. Developed a 14-year development plan and saved Egypt. Why? Because God was with him. Amen. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were young boys, displaced from their own country, in a foreign country where they knew no person, no connections. But because God was with them, they turned their world upside down. No preachers, there were no preachers, there were no deacons, there were no elders, but yet they had such an incredible passion for God to turn Babylon upside down. 12 men that Jesus Christ had turned their world upside down. Today we are more than 12. But our world is getting worse and worse and worse. And I wonder, what is God saying to us? Brothers and sisters, we have got a command to move out and make a difference. Jesus Christ himself, he never attended a seminary. But there are thousands and thousands of seminaries today that are established about him. What an impact. What an impact. He never wrote a book, but there are millions and millions of books today that are being written about him. What an impact. One person was able to affect the whole world. And it is my prayer that God would raise people in Asia, in Africa, in every part of the world, in America. God does not need a group of people. God just needs one person who is sold out to him and who is willing to make a difference. Who says, God, you have said, go, I am going. We have so many good people that debate about the gospel. But God is not looking for those who are going to debate. God is looking for those people who are going to go. The commission is to the whole world. The global vision is for the whole world. God has called us in Africa to preach the gospel where the gospel is needed. There are 4.5 billion people today who have never heard the gospel of Christ. Still waiting for you and me to make an impact in their lives. 1 billion children are dying every single day with diseases that can be treated, with ailments that can be treated. But those people are dying without Christ. And God says, we are the agent for change. We are the world changers. It is you and me who are going to change the world. So it is a global vision. But lastly, it's not just to the whole world. Our God is our companion. Jesus has all the power. He has given us the command to go. He has given us the commission to go away to the whole world. But he is also our companion. Our companion to do what? Our companion to go with us. I am so grateful to the Lord that our God does not watch us from the terraces. Those who coach, whether it is football or basketball, they operate from the touchlines. They scream and they operate from the touchlines. But when it comes to my King, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, He gives me a command to go. He gives me a commission that is greater than me. But He says, my son, I am your companion. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'll go with you wherever you are going to preach the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom. Do you want to see the accompaniment of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life? Do you want to experience the presence of God? When you begin to move, brothers and sisters, with a passion and a desire to preach the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus will join you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego decided to make a difference. Decided to make a difference in their own world. They said, we have erected an image that everybody must worship. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, we will not worship any other image except worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We want to be the testimony in this nation. And you know the story, they were thrown into the lake of fire. As soon as they stood for Jesus to make a difference, the king saw a fourth man. Because Jesus is a great companion. He goes with us in every trouble, in every situation, in every dynamic situation. Whenever you are thinking you are going through the most difficult situation, David says, even though I walk through the shadow of the valley of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because my God is with me. My brothers and sisters, I have settled the issue of death. I'm no longer afraid of death. Because I know that nobody will kill me unless God allows him to kill me. As long as I pursue the will of God, I will stand in every situation. God will always be with me and give me wisdom and understanding to go through the valley of the shadow of death, and God will give me a way out. Why? Because He doesn't just send me. He doesn't just give me a great task, but He says, I am going to walk along with you. May God bless you. And may you find yourself being one of those people who are going to say yes to God and no to Stephen. No to excuses. No, we have good excuses, but we need to say yes to God. Let us pray.